Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
It is good to be here this morning. I would just ask if you would, Apostle, when I talked to him this morning, he just asked that people would be praying for his back. He was having some lower back pain and stuff. So keep that in mind, and we do. We lift him up with that. And Father, we just say that Apostle is healed, that there'll be nothing lagging and nagging on his back to keep him from the things that you have him to do. So we just call it done, that the pain is gone, and anything that's causing these symptoms to be removed and relieved in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if this should have been maybe before or after. I think it's just as much for now as before Thanksgiving. But I want to talk to us this morning about thankfulness. I think for me, I just see a lot of the times I just look at me and I look at my life and I look at people around me and I tend to take notice of what's going on. And I know in me, that's one of the areas that I can easily slip by, and I just keep on moving in the things of God, and I just keep, you know, every day and da-da-da-da. And after a while, I realize that I am not taking care of the very simple things in my Christian walk that are essential. They are essential. Have you noticed sometimes how you just feel this thing of being simplicity has been on my mind lately? I've noticed, I just was going to ask you, have you noticed at all in your Christian walks how sometimes the journey just seems to get hobbled by stuff, filler, busy work? And it seems right at the time to do it, but then later when we look back, we realize it really wasn't necessary, and we just filled our lives with a bunch of stuff that probably just was just us. And they're not bad things, but we filled our lives with them. Thank you. That is so good. All of a sudden, I can see. I was thinking, man, am I just having trouble seeing this morning or what? Okay, thank you. I want my journey to be relevant, but I want it to be simple. Does that make sense? I don't want to be busy. I'm willing to be busy as God wants me to be, but I don't believe that he wants us to be so filled with busyness that we can't take care of the essential things he asks us to do. The gospel of Christ is very simple. I ask myself, why do I complicate living it out? Very simple. But I do. I complicate it sometimes, but it's with my stuff. So I want us to look this morning at what I believe is just one of the four major duties, and I use that word. I don't like the word duty because it makes you feel heavy, but I'm just using it in the terms of responsibilities that we have towards God. And I want it to bring simplicity to our journey. I'm going to start in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 10 through 14. Really, basically 13. We're going to spend a little time in 13 just to kind of set up a preface for being thankful. In verse 12 or 10 in Ecclesiastes 12, it says, "The preacher sought to find out pleasing words, words of truth written by the upright. The words of the wise are like goads. Yes, their collected words are like nails driven home. They're given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be warned, the making of many books has no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh." So verse 13, and he says, "Then let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And God will bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether good or evil." Verse 13 is where we're going to just start. The whole or the complete of this thing we call life. That's what he's summing up, his life. The book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon talks about all the things that he did, all the exploits, all the things he tried, all the things that money could buy. He did it all. And when he comes to the end of it, he says, if you read the whole chapter 12, he talks about, you know, I realize that I'm coming to an end. I can't hear. I can't, you know, my eyes are dimming. My hair is white. He says, even I laughed in the Message Bible, the way it put it, said, even going for a walk becomes a terror. And I just passed 60. And so I know that some of that I'm starting to see. Yeah, that's awesome. I got this far. But the whole or the complete of this thing we call life is summed up as fearing or revering or respecting God, keeping or guarding or listening to what he says. For this is the whole or the complete of man. That word duty in verse 13 is not there. That's just added in. So it really says this is the whole duty or this not duty. This is the whole of man. This is the completeness of what a man's life and a woman's life should be. That we revere him and we do what he says. He says, that's it. That's simplicity. That's what I love. That's why I love this passage. But we can break that passage down into that word, duty, that's not really there, but that mindset. I can break it down into four areas, and one of those areas is what we're going to spend our time with today. But those four areas are, our duties towards God are simply worship, obedience, service, and thankfulness. That's our whole towards God. That is the complete of who I am and my fullness of life. That's what it really is centered on. Under worship, that's where the relationship that we have come into when we come to God, relationship begins. But my time in worship is where my relationship is formed with him. That's where I get to know him. So that's important. That has to be a part. It's an essential of being in God, in part of his family. That's an essential because that's where I get to know him. Obedience, the second one. You remember we've talked about it here many times. If you look up in the Greek what obedience means, it means to hearken intentively. So it's not a thing of somebody with a stick behind you, whipping you along, trying to get you to obey. Obeying is to listen intentively. How do we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father? How do we do that if we don't listen? That's how we obey. That's what we do, just by listening. So when we obey, we listen. Thirdly, service. Under that, I would put, that's when we do what we heard. That's when we put it into action. And then thankfulness. Thankfulness should turn into joy. Our lives should be lives. God's people should be joyful people. Yeah. We have so much to be joyful about. But if we don't think on these things, how can we ever thank him for those things? When we thank, we become joyful. All we do and achieve in life, the totality of our life, is given to us by God. Ecclesiastes, that's what it talks about. All the things that you can accomplish, they're all given to you for you. But it's not that they would define you. And that's what happens. That's why you have CEOs or high achievers, they come to the end of their life and they're still not satisfied. Because the stuff identified them. Their names may be attached to things, and others may see their lives as well spent, but the individual never found contentment or peace. Yeah. Our lives are about more than that. Yes. Those are just the things that you're given. You're allowed and able to do those things. You can achieve as much as you possibly desire, as long as they don't define you and they don't get in the way of your real life. Amen. Because our real life should be that we worship, obey and serve and be thankful. That's the totality of our lives. The negative aspect of someone who's not thankful, because that's the one we're going to look at, that out of those four. The negative aspect of someone who is not thankful, I would bet that in most cases, the first three are not an active part of a negative person's life. I would bet you with almost 100% that if you find a negative-minded person, they don't worship, or they don't have a regular worship. They don't do what they hear him say to do, and therefore their lives are turned upside down, and they live negative because nothing works for them. They're frustrated. But we will not dwell there, amen? Amen. That's not who we are. So we're going to look at gaining a simple way to become a thankful person. Psalm 97:12 just simply says, "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." To thank, we've got to think. He says, in remembrance, then rejoice. You got to think to be able to really thank. We're going to see this. Well, that's going to be a part of what we see as we go. Psalm 107:1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Psalm 140:13, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence." There are hundreds of verses exhorting us to give thanks. The word's a verb, which means there's an action required. Almost all the words in the Bible, all the places that talk about being thankful, almost all are prefaced with the word give or thanks be unto. It's the same end, the same result. I just want to bounce down through a couple that I picked out because there's two pages of them that I have printed out in small print. But a couple of them are just, they're key ones. I love the one, "He took the cup and gave thanks." I love that. These are all New Testament. These aren't even in the Old Testament. In Luke 6, "If you lend to those of whom you do receive, what thanks do you have? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again." That's one that's, we could get another area, but that's not quite where I'm at. But Luke 22:17 again, "He took the cup and gave thanks." Acts 27:35, "And saying these things and taking bread, he gave thanks to God before all. Breaking, he began to eat." Romans 6:17, "But thanks be to our God that you were the slaves of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered." A heart of thanksgiving. 1 Corinthians 57, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And 2 Corinthians 2:14, "Now thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ." 2 Corinthians 8:16, "But thanks be to God who put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you." These are just the examples of constant giving thanks. They were commanded to do it, and they were told to do it, and when they became followers, they did do it. Yep. Ephesians 5:20, "Always giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Giving thanks in all things. It starts to broaden the understanding of what are we to give thanks for. Colossians 1:3, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." So we're to be praying and thankful for each other. Colossians 3:17, "Everything, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." 1 Thessalonians, "We give thanks to God for you always, making mention of you." You get the picture. I don't have to go on. This is a New Testament. It's Old Testament, but it's in the New Testament. It's a concept. There's over 100 places where it says to give thanks. In the Hebrew, the word is yada, YAWDAW. It's literally to use. I think this is neat because this is where you start really be able to see what being thankful is. This is where, for me, it gets really cool. It's literally to use, that is, hold out the hand, or physically to throw a stone or an arrow at or away, especially to revere or worship with extended hands. The mindset of thanks in the Old Testament, the word is literally that you take it in your hand and you hurl it, you throw it, you cast it from me to you. It leaves the person and goes towards out towards something else. That's the part that always says, give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. Every time thanks is mentioned, it says, give thanks, or thanks be unto. It's the same thing constantly. It's leaving you and going out. It's not a personal thing. It's not about you holding on to. It's something that comes up in you because of your relationship with God that has to come out to somebody else. That's why in all these New Testament verses, we give thanks for you in prayer always. We give thanks. We give thanks to God who did. It's always a thing of leaving you, going to another. That's a mindset that you have to pick up this morning. To become a thankful person, you have to realize and understand what is thankfulness about. It's about giving. It's about getting it out of you and to another because they need it. They need to hear it. They need to know they're appreciated. It's a gesture of giving, simply leaving you and going towards another. Now, in the New Testament, the Greek definition takes on a little bit different. It's the same, but it takes on a little bit different. Does anybody know what the word in Greek is for thanks? Eucharisteo. Does that have something in it you might be recognized in the church from the early church on? Eucharist. When I heard that or read that, I was like, wait a minute, this is cool. What's up? Because the early church simply designed that the Last Supper would be the sacrament of what? Eucharist. The sacrament of thanks. And it took me a while this week. I just had to lay on that for a while and just think because I knew there was something to it that just I had to get in me. Because the early church fathers, they saw it as something that needed to be, you know, really brought attention to. And although we don't use the word sacrament so much in our forms of worship and stuff that we have come into, the truth of the matter is still there. You remember when Jesus said he took the bread and he gave thanks. And that word is Eucharist, Eucharisteo. He gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. To remember is what? Thinking. When we think, we can thank. When we partake of communion, Jesus said to do it in remembrance of him. The communion elements, or the Eucharist, is for sure one thing. It's a partaking in the act of thanksgiving. It's called Eucharist because it's an action of thanksgiving to God. The Greek words Eucharistian and eulogen, which is neat because eulogy comes from that word, which is saying good things about someone. In those words, it recalled the Jewish blessings that proclaimed, especially during a meal, God's works, his creation, his redemption, and sanctification. At the Last Supper, on the night he was betrayed, our Savior instituted the Eucharistic sacrifice of his body and his blood. This he did in order to perpetuate the sacrifice of the cross throughout the ages until he would come again. And so to entrust to his beloved spouse, the church, a memorial of his death and resurrection, a sacrament of love, a sign of unity, a bond of charity, a paschal banquet in which Christ is consumed. The mind is filled with grace and a pledge of future glory is given to you. That's an awesome statement. Because the early church fathers, they simply equated the greatest act of giving of himself to another. That's the greatest act that he could do was give himself. And that act was a thing of thankfulness. I mean, how can, you know, whenever I started pulling this all into my spirit, it started bringing such a desire to be thankful in me because I saw that the greatest act of giving to another, the greatest act was that Jesus himself gave himself in his wholeness, his completeness for you and I, for the world. And to the communion table is simply where we in turn can then give to him. the greatest act of thankfulness to all that he did. See, to take communion is not just an act. It's an act of thankfulness. It should be the highest form of thanksgiving that we have, because it was the highest form that he gave us. The act of thanksgiving can be learned. That's one thing we just want to hit this morning. I believe that we can learn how to be thankful. The process is all done in here. Remember, if we think, we thank. If we don't think, we're not going to be thankful. If we don't take the time, to think, we won't be thankful. But number one, I think first, and this is how we can learn it. First, we have to recognize or become aware of something. That sounds very simple, and it is. But that's the first step in being thankful, is becoming aware of something. The second thing is to place a certain value upon it. You'll do that right here. When you become aware of something, you automatically are putting a value on it. Automatically. It either becomes something you're thankful for or something you're not thankful for. Because the third step is going to be that we then react, usually from the level of value we placed on it. And the reaction, if we're thankful, will become joy. If there's no value on what we become aware of, we don't react to it. We just let it go, or it becomes something we disdain. But if we become aware of something, we automatically place a value to it. And if that value is great, it becomes good to us. And we begin to react with joy. When people like Paul say, to rejoice, again I say rejoice, it's because he has already recognized and he's seen the value of it. And out of his heart just flows a magnitude of just gratitude and thanksgiving. Because that's what thankfulness is gratitude. There was a song that I forget the pastor's name. Years ago, the choir of his church, they put out a song called Grateful. It's one of those songs that, if I just need to get centered, I could just put it on and just sit back, close my eyes, and listen to the words and get caught up in the of the song. And it centers me back to being grateful. That process is all done in the mind. Sometimes it evolves over time, other times it's almost instant, but the same end result. If we think, we can thank. Now back to our lives and how we're to live them out. Our whole or complete before God, the wholeness of who we are before God, and our life, the wholeness of our life before God. As I hope you've noticed that life's not lived in the future. I think you've noticed that. Hopefully you've noticed that life's not lived in the future. It's lived in the now. And we cannot waste the opportunities presented to us every day by dwelling on what was or looking to the future as an escape from the now. Can't do it. We got to live today. We've got to live today. To live today in its complete or the whole of our lives, it'll determine our attitude towards the past and your positioning for the future. Again, the whole of man is to worship, which is where right relationship is formed. We got to obey, which is to listen intently. And we serve, which is the doing, the works of faith. And the last is to learn to be thankful, which produces joy, being able to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. I want us to exercise this gratefulness and thankfulness because it's a vital part of being healthy. If you want spiritual health, good health, you've got to be one who is thankful. Yeah. You've got to. Yeah. There's no other way around it. But to be thankful, you're probably going to have to go back begin to get your worship area right so that you can hear what he has to say, so you can do what he has to say. And when you do it, you're going to be thankful. It's just the way it is. There's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts. If we take the time to think, we'll begin to see how much we have instead of what we don't have. See, gratitude flushes self-pity out of the system. Let me say it again. Gratitude flushes self-pity out of our system. I want to read you a statement out of Max Lucado's book he just put out, Before Amen. It's a neat little book. I was in a bookstore one day. I was looking for something. I wasn't even looking for a Christian book. I was just looking for something to read because I just like to have a book. So sometimes I read, you know, spiritual stuff. Other times I just read. And this book was laying there, and I wasn't even looking for it. And I picked it up and bought it. It's been such a sweet book. Before, amen. It's a good book. But this is what he says in there. To say thanks is to celebrate a gift, something, anything, animals. So what's cool here is he, when in the book, he goes into a, he just said, if you want to learn how to be thankful, then begin to be thankful and alphabetize it and just start working through the alphabet. So he started out with animals, and he started talking about his dog, how much he loves his dog. And then he goes to, said he had bald spots. He said something about looking in the mirror at a convenience store and realized it was him. So he's thankful for bald spots. Thankful for chocolate. Dictionaries. I mean, he just starts through it. It's really a great exercise. And I really wanted to do it this morning, but I just couldn't get things, the big board in here in time and all that. Where we could have just went through and just let everybody. We'll still, at the end, we'll still give you opportunity to shout some things out. But to say thanks is to cross the tracks from have not to have much. From the excluded to the recruited. Thanks proclaims, I'm not disadvantaged, disabled, victimized, or scandalized. Yeah. Forgotten or ignored. Yeah. See how important it is to be thankful? I'm blessed, not just from the things or people, but by the ultimate blesser, God Almighty. In Scripture, the idea of giving thanks is not recommended or suggested. It is commanded. Carrying the same weight as love thy neighbor and give to the poor. More than 100 times we're commanded to give thanks. God takes it serious. There's good reason for it. This is still Max Lucado's this statement. Ingratitude is the original sin. Adam and Eve had a million things to be thankful for. The garden was so safe that they wore nothing. No one or anything to hide from. But the snake showed up and raised a question. He brought focus to the one thing they could not touch. And just that quick, Eden wasn't enough. That's powerful, guys. That's powerful. Because that's what the enemy will do, to take your thankfulness away, to get your focus off of who you are in Christ. He'll get you to focus on the one thing that God said don't do. But there's millions of other things. But that one's where our focus runs if we listen to him. See, there was enough in the garden. But the suggestion that there could be more caused the first sense of discontentment. And giving it place, it moved in like a bully on the block. I've experienced that in my life. When I've allowed the one thing that I'm not supposed to touch. And you give it place for a minute. And it takes a while to get it back out. Not because God doesn't remove it quickly, but because it's hard for me to get it out quickly. What if they would have said, not interested. Let us show you what God's done for us. Had they chosen gratitude, would the world be different? If you and I simply choose gratitude, will our world be different? So can we think this morning, and by doing so, begin to move into a grateful, thankful way of living and then make it a habit in our lives? I believe we can. We really can, in the middle of all the stuff, live simple, whole lives. because God's made a way to do it. He's shown us, be thankful. That'll come because you were willing to do what he said to do, and that came out of your worship before him. All through the time this morning that the team was doing up here, because I had been in this all week, it was amazing to me that so many times words that were in these songs were so reflective of being thankful. Even the act of putting your hands up to worship. You know, I mean, I know we've all been through all the seminars and all the things about worship and stuff, but the very simplest, pure form of putting my hand up before God is it's being thankful. When I do that, I'm simply giving him a sign saying, I'm thankful because something's coming out of me and going. I'm thankful. So what are you thankful for? I think what I enjoyed about that little piece in Max Lucado's book was that we are just like that. I don't know why. Christians are like that. We want, that's frustrating. Yeah, I guess. But it's just weird to me that we are always so spiritual. When I saw, when he started reading the things, and that's just, I mean, there was the two or three I just read. He got into, like, he went on through all the way to Z in the book. And it was comical. But it just opened my eyes to, I'm not thankful for enough. I mean, I'm thankful for running water. Oh, my gosh. I mean, when's the last time you've had to go get a bucket out of the and bring it in the house? Come on. Those kind of things. Man, I'm thankful for, I told Vicki on the way here, I'm thankful for cars. Can you imagine, I just told her, I said, you just go back to the beginning of that. Somewhere along the line, God put in men or women's minds, somehow how he does that, he got something in there to get them to thinking about something, a reciprocating situation that if you compress some kind of flammable thing, it's going to explode, and it's going to push the piston back down. It's going to reciprocate, and you get this thing working, and it's going to become horsepower and movement. How that happened, I'd have no clue, but great men and women allowed God to put in their heart, and they thought about it, and they did it. And look, I'm so thankful for that. I mean, that has to do with motorcycles, four-wheelers, little cars you run around the ground. It has to do with airplanes. It has to do with cars and trucks and all the stuff that we see move things. Can you imagine our economy without reciprocating engines? That's amazing. I never give thanks for that. I never just tell him, God, I'm so thankful for that. My life is so much better because of that. Just that alone. It's huge, you know. What about glasses? Boy, am I thankful for that. That is amazing. You remember that? What was that show called that you don't like? The old show about all the weird stuff. Rod Sterling, Twilight Zone. Anybody remember that one where Burgess Meredith loved to read, and after the nuclear deal went out, nobody's left, he's thinking, this is so great because now I get to read, and he drops his glasses and they break. Well, that was great. But anyway, I'm thankful. I'm grateful for glasses, for shoes, for comfortable shoes. I'm losing weight, I'm glad for belts because my pants are getting bigger. I'm glad I have a belt. I know. I know. You bet you are. Tell me something. What are you thankful for? Family, absolutely. Laughter. Music.
Holidays.
Air. blue skies. Let's take the air a little further, air conditioning. Yes. Yes. Heating. What it? Indoor plumbing. Amen. Amen. I grew up with an outside toilet. We didn't have to use it all the time, but when the pipes froze, we did, and I didn't like it. I didn't care how young I was. I didn't like it. You had to leave the house and get cold. That was not fun. Come on.
Toilet paper.
Toilet paper. Amen. Western toilets, yes. Who?
The present.
Yes, the present. Yeah. Thankful for the past, and I'm thankful that it was past. I'm thankful that we are here now and not back there. Coffee. Amen. 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 You go that route, iced tea. Sweet tea. Mm. Clean water. Yeah, absolutely. Showers. Yeah, we didn't have a shower in the house I grew up in. Everything was in a bathtub. I love showers. That's the best ever. Come on.
Laughter.
Laughter. Oh, that's two times, so that's a good one.
The church.
The church. You had to be spiritual, didn't you? I mean, it's obvious we're thankful for God. We're thankful for grace and mercy. That's obvious. It should be. To a Christian, it should be obvious.
Freedom.
Amen. Freedom.
The joy of the Lord.
The joy of the Lord, yes. A good back. Yeah. Yeah, you don't realize how good your backs are until yours isn't good. And that brings a real enlightenment to you quick. Come on.
Doctors.
What? In medical, yes. What, Carol? Different seasons, yes. I love seasons. I love the leaves when they change. He brings you that kind of beauty, just your eye, so you can just enjoy and just suck in the beauty. Isn't that neat? Because God does that. He created seasons. He brought frost so that leaves would turn crazy colors. That's awesome.
Fresh breezes.
Yeah, nothing like a good summer breeze.
Paychecks.
Yes. Yes. Oh, man. What's life without a paycheck? No fun. Washers and dryers, yes. Yeah, ladies, you ought to be really happy about that because you're not out there on the old scrub board at the, yeah. Military. I'm thankful for military. We have freedom because of it. Amen. 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 Yes, Everett. Yes, yes. Rainbows are beautiful. They are. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Come on. Huh? Bridges. Yeah, if you didn't have bridges, most of us would never have known what the western part of the United States was like. Cats. That's probably a variable. What do you think? Cats? Yeah. We're not always thankful for cats. Who? Golden retrievers. Dogs and cats. Pets. Let's just put it like that. Pets are amazing. Babies. Yeah, babies are cool. New life into the earth. Babies are cool. Kingdom dreams. Somebody's being spiritual. Oh, drinks. Oh, yes, yes. Drinking of the kingdom. Yes. Star. Do you have something? Yeah, to-go communions, where you can just pick it up and take it back to your seat if you want to. There's nothing wrong with being thankful for those things, being thankful for health. How about just that? For good health. Yes. Yeah, thankful for this, where I don't have to scream and holler. I can just talk normal. Yes, he would. Clay's awful thankful for hunting. He's thankful for a deer. He's thankful for... Lots of, and he's thankful for Harleys, that's right. Motorcycles, yes. It's good. It's always good. Yes, go ahead.
that song. Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice.
Thankful for songs, eh? Music and songs, yeah. Come on, there's a few more. Houses. Who?
Friends.
Smartphones. Yeah, if you know how to use them, they're good. Yes. Nature, absolutely. Absolutely. Spend time in nature. There's nothing to bring your whole core being back together to get out in it. Yes. You're thankful for your wife. Cool. I don't hear any amens. What's up with that? Come on. We're thankful for our wives. And I know the wives are thankful for us, as it goes without saying. Sometimes. Comfortable beds. Yeah. Who? Yeah, that's 2-1 family, too. So we've had 2-1 laughter and 2-1 family, so you know they're special. Dreams and visions. Yes.
Facial hair.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, see, there you go. She's enjoying the facial hair of her husband. That's right. I was a little high there. Mine's down here. Come on, Vic. What else are you thankful for? GPS systems. Yes. So we'd have missed out on some of our vacations had we not had GPS. Yes, Everett. Absolutely. One drip from God's mouth can change your life. Salvation. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No doubt. Books. Yes. Yes. Yeah. There was a time where a lot more of you would have had big hair, but this, you know, it's cool. Yeah, I'm with you. Pineapples. Really cool about pineapples. I love pineapples. I'm thankful for pineapples. There's a story behind that in my life, and I'm very thankful for pineapples. So when Star walked in the other day with her pineapple umbrella, I was like, cool, cool. I like that. Come on, somebody else. Vegetables, grocery stores, road trips, sure, adventures. Huh? Movies? Absolutely. I love movies. I'm so thankful for movies. I was up at 2 o'clock last night watching a movie. Amen. Amen. You can tell who just got back from spirit school, can't you? Traveling. It's good. It brings stuff to your insides. It builds you up. It makes you feel good. Yeah, and when you get back home, absolutely. Yeah, I can be with my family up in Pennsylvania for a week, 2 weeks, and boy, am I glad when I get home. I love them, but I'm glad when I get home. Yeah, visiting family. And then when they get home, yes. Just a few more, come on. Yes, amen. Thankful for the freedom of America, and yes, it's a good life to live here. Yeah, having all your senses so you can smell and appreciate smells, sight, hearing, touching, feeling. Yeah, yeah, when one's been taken, another one gets even greater. I'm thankful for policemen. Tim, thank you. Thank you. Firemen, yes, thank you for those. People that serve. What's that? Hair extensions. I'm quite sure for women that's a good thing. I don't know. But I'm thankful for with you. I'll be thankful along the way with you. Art, are you thankful for hair extensions? And grandbabies, there you go. That's true, grandbabies. Come on, there's got to be some you hadn't thought about, some just good little things. Yes, people that are willing to serve. I am very thankful for that. Amen. 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 Awesome. Vacuum cleaners. Yes. Thankful for pastors and leadership. I'm very thankful that I serve with them. Carrie, I see on your Facebook at times you constantly are thanking God for a little girl. You're always saying, I so much love her. I'm thankful for her. That's cool. We're thankful for kids or children. We're thankful for them. We're thankful for when they grow up. Thankful for when they leave the house. It's really good. And my wife's saying, wind it up. So I guess that I'm being told. But I just want you to get the picture. You get the picture of how easy it is to be thankful if we think. You got to think. If we'll think, we'll come up with things and we can be thankful people. Because we can't be the fullness of God in this life without being thankful. Absolutely. I'm very thankful for a thinking process. That's right. That's right. It's about releasing it, not keeping it in, just thinking it, but being thankful. Because when you thank, you become a giver. And we are natural givers because you were created to give. So if we get things in order and we really begin to worship him in spirit and in truth, we begin to hear what he says, and then we do it, we have amazing things to be thankful for. And you'll see things, he'll bring things to mind of being thankful. I assure you.